Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates, and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about interviewing or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
This is The Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated, insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is The Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Great to have you on, Phil. Nationwide, coast to coast, as we pick up our radio audience, and a big hello to our American Forces Radio Network audience in 175 countries and all the ships at sea. God bless you for your military service. So there is a 2 out of 3 chance that on December 31st, the stock market will be higher than it is today.
2 out of 3, that's good odds.
Yeah. It certainly appears good news. Dow Jones is already sitting year-to-date up 15%. 15% year-to-date.
Son of a gun.
And if we keep going, it would lock 2019's place in history as maybe one of the best stock markets of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's this thing called the best six-month strategy, which has become legendary on Wall Street, and that is the sell in May and go away strategy.
Ooh.
Okay. So, Rusty, tell us what sell in May and go away.
Sell in May. You sell right around May, get the hell out for a while, come back in October if you remember. Or is it come back in December if you can remember? That sounds better. I have no idea what it means.
Actually, it's not true.
Yeah. Do they leave in May? Who sells in May?
Well, typically, sell in May and go away means investing in the Dow between November 1st and April 30th. And then you switch to fixed income for the other 6 months. Okay? So November 1st till April 30th, you're in the stock market.
Right after Halloween.
Right. Then you fix. Then you switch over to fixed income and so on and so forth.
Oh, it's come back in November.
And it historically works really well. In fact, history says you're going to come out on top if you do this, because until recently... mainly because the Dow's been up between May and November the last 6 years.
Yes.
But overall, historically speaking, what I was telling you before the break, and I kind of rushed through because we were going into commercial, was if an investor only invested $10,000 into the Dow, okay,
right,
between May 1st and October 31st in 1950, okay?
In October. Only that time span.
So only he put money in 1950. On and off, kept put it in and then pulled it out May to October since 1950. Whew. He would have a gain of astonishingly a loss of $5,860.
Out of the 10 grand you put in,
every year since 1950, okay, his overall loss, okay, would be $5,800.
That sucks.
Now, if he had only taken that $10,000 and invested it between, as I mentioned before, May. November 1st and April 30th.
Oh, the good times.
In and out.
I see.
Okay, pull it out in May, but only invest it in.
Now you're cooking.
He would have a gain of $2.8 million. That's how the best 6 months
Huge.
Of investing works. Yeah, that's why. Yeah,
what if you did both? Just get the...
Well, most people do both, and that's why they're... And which is why you're going to end up ahead. Look, you'll still end up ahead.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, you still end up
You're still up. Listen, you're up $2.8 million either way.
You can afford to lose the $5,000.
But why just, you know, get out for now? But so the idea is that people trying to beat the market during these times. And look, if you look at a chart of the Dow, in fact, let's take a look at the chart real quick.
I love charts.
Because you can't deny what's going on here. I mean, this market is killing it. I mean, look, let me just give you those numbers if you're just joining us on radio, because I told the TV audience this. Dow's now on pace for its best year in return in 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? S&P on track for its best return since 1955, and the NASDAQ its best return since 2000. 19 years, okay? If this were a stock and you were looking at this chart, I would tell you that it is a buy, but not a strong buy, because it's a little top-heavy.
That's what I see.
Right? I mean, look, we're above the 50-day moving average. Don't do that. We're above the 50-day moving average. We're above the 13-day moving average. Down here below here, we're a little overbought.
Yeah.
Okay? Long story short is that, as you can see, we're testing highs right now. Go back to October of last year. Okay?
And then
go back to May of this year.
Something's supposed to happen when those...
Just take your X there. Go to the top of October. There you go. Now draw a straight line across to the right. Keep going. There's May.
We're almost back.
And then we're back. See that? So this is a resistance point here for us.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if we break through this, you know, this could be... Now, if you back up... This could also be what looks like a double top. Okay, this could be a reversal. Okay,
mm-hmm.
If you look at this, just depends on how your technical analysis. If you're a long-term holder on this still,
stay put.
Maybe not. If you're a short-term guy, maybe we've reached a double bottom.
Maybe I should pull some money out of my Roth for the wedding.
Maybe so.
Jeez, not mine.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's what's going on. that's why I'm looking at this really careful here, because. Lots of things to consider when you're looking at the stock market right now. Look,
always.
And you shouldn't be day trading anyway, honestly. I mean, 2% of my holdings are day traded. 2%.
Kind of fun, though, isn't it?
It is fun because you can mess around. You can buy a little Apple here, a little Microsoft there. But you should be in a buy and hold strategy. You should have an investment professional. Don't
get do it yourself.
Wrong. Hey, we tried to talk to Eyal Berend last week. He is the CEO and co-founder of I hope I'm saying this right, Cannabix.
Cannabix.
Could be Cannabix, but I think it's Cannabix. Interesting cannabis company. They are traded here in the U.S. under the stock symbol CNBX. It's cannabix.com. But we had a problem with the communication last week, so I'm so glad we got him back. But he, joining us again, Eyal Berend is joining us to talk about the world of cannabis. He is a core member of the founding team, and this guy was in the online media world. And a serial entrepreneur before he got into this business. And I always like to talk to people on how they stepped into this space when they weren't in this space.
Next frontier.
Exactly right. Eyal, thanks for joining us. How are you, sir? Good to see you.
Good. Great to be here. Great to be back. Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
So let me ask you this. How did you go from all of your other business collaborations to this? Because obviously, and you were even in big data for a while. You were in AI for a while. He's got a bachelor's of economics and international relations.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is this is a viable investment vehicle here, or investment vertical here. We're seeing across international, between Israel to Canada to the U.S. and beyond, this is happening here. How did you see this so early? Because we're still sort of pre-peak in this.
Well, yeah, you're right. It did start happening because of big data. Obviously, pricing online advertising media in real time is a big challenge. But when we came to cancer, there are thousands of different types of cancers and literally hundreds of different types of cannabinoids, thousands of different types of strains. And what's interesting is that we found in our preclinical studies is that when you get the right variation for cannabis for specific cancers, you're actually able to cause an apoptotic effect, meaning that you're actually killing off or causing the cancer cells to commit suicide while not affecting the healthy cells.
Wow.
So here's my question. First of all, can you clear up for us, because I don't think we got this last week because our communication was down here a little bit. Is it Cannabix or Cannabix?
Cannabix Pharmaceuticals.
Cannabix,
yes,
Pharmaceuticals.
I knew it. I saw the word personalized pop up on there, which means every individual must take it in different, get different doses, get different stuff like that.
Is there a different tincture for everyone?
Yeah,
talk about
that.
Yeah, well, really, doctors today are really feel ill equipped to be able to make specific recommendations in their patients and what they should take. Most doctors are actually giving cannabis for the palliative side, so to help affect pain, side effects, sleeping disorders, and such. But we are looking at the anti-palliative side, so not only the anti-palliative side, but the anti-tumor side. So we're actually looking, and we found that in at least in our labs, we are able to kill off certain cancers with specific quantities of cannabinoids.
Stay right there. Eyal Barad is our guest. He's our CEO and co-founder. What a different story about biopharma as it relates to cannabis.
Brave Eyal, job.
Stock symbol CNBX, by the way, and their website, cannabix.com. More of Eyal Barad in just 1 second.
Stand wow, up. Wait a second, man. What do you think the future's going to look like this year?
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Eyal Barad's our guest, CEO and co-founder of Cannabix Pharmaceutical.
Nice.
Cannabix.com. Russ and Sully, Big Biz Show. So here's my question for you, Baird, or Eyal. I understand the big differentiator here. It makes sense because you guys are going for a different sort of therapy that I don't think I've actually heard of before. How did you guys get started as a company? Talk about the inception of Cannabix Pharmaceuticals.
Well, we actually started out with a slow-release tablet. We're actually an American company, but we have a 100% owned subsidiary in Israel where we've been licensed for numerous years to be able to conduct research with cannabinoids, which is very fortunate. And we started out by producing a slow-release tablet and taking it to the hospitals here in Israel for cachexia and anorexia patients. Our indications we were looking for was actually to improve appetite and get people to gain some weight. And when we finished the study, which was about half a year ago, 8 months ago, the results were that we actually were able to increase the weight in 60% of our patients by more than 10%. But while doing that study, we went to one of the universities looking because we had heard from many anecdotal stories about the anti-tumor properties in people that have been cured from cancer with cannabinoids. And so we started to doing some research, and actually to our surprise and very much to our excitement, we discovered that we are able to do so in the lab. So we set out raising money and building out our own state-of-the-art laboratory in Israel to do the study. We have the backing here of the Israeli government and support to do the research. And that's how we started.
So my question would be, you know, and speaking of labs and research, there's been sort of a lack of available research into cannabis and at least in the U.S. markets. I mean, we're now seeing testing facilities. We're obviously seeing, you know, a small body of work. You guys went out to change that. How different is it in Israel than it is in the U.S. versus Canada and everything else?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the U.S., actually, to date, it is very difficult to do any sort of clinical studies in the hospitals with available cannabinoids in the market. Since, for regulatory purposes, the federal government does not prohibit it, so that makes it very difficult. Israel has had a medical cannabis regime for about 10 years now. Canada has lately been catching up, so you're seeing more research coming out of Canada, but there are probably about 30 or 40 or more tens of studies in Israel right now going on with cannabis for many, many indications.
So I guess my question would be, from afar, what do you think the prognosis is for the U.S. cannabis market? Is the federal government going to get involved? I mean, you must be hearing whispers at some point on how things are going. What in your mind, you know, because, listen, let's face it, of all the countries leading research, it goes in that order. It goes Israel, Canada, U.S.
Right.
From what you're seeing there, is there going to be any movement, at least federally here in the U.S.?
We very much believe that the more data that we're able to bring to light, and I think that's what's really lacking, you're very accurate there. At the end of the day, the scientific community, as well as the business community, will realize both the medicinal and economic values of cannabis. And we believe that at some point there will be no choice. The U.S. will have to join in because there will be no doubting it.
Hey, can you know, the other thing too is what's the FDA version of in Israel versus the U.S.? And is it as arduous there as it is here?
IDA.
Well, the Israeli Ministry of Health here, as I said a while back, had decided that it was willing to be one of the first countries in the world to lead such changes in regulation. Mm-hmm. I think overall it has been a success. We see many patients here that have been receiving therapy for many years now, and they seem to, it seems to be also taking them off other prescription drugs and helping them with their symptoms. We tend to take it, we want to take it to the next step. We really believe in our capability of proving and bringing the data and therapeutics to be able to help people with their cancer. So that's, we're trying to really take it to the next level here.
Well, I'm talking, but I guess my question specifically refers to overall with drug approval and therapeutic approval there versus mm-hmm. here. Can you compare the two?
Yeah, no doubt that the FDA has a lot more stringent, and as long as it is unregulated in the U.S., the FDA has a big problem with it. We saw them regulate CBD with Epidiolex, a GW drug. That was the first one that came in on mm-hmm. The market in the U.S., and that was very, I guess that was very optimistic. I mean, we're very optimistic that will continue. But until THC and all the other derivatives of the plant don't come off that regulation list and more research and study is done and more data is collected, I think it's going to be difficult. Israel seems to be at this point a lot easier.
Yeah.
But Israel is a small market, a great place to take new developments and test them out. But at the end of the day, most pharmaceutical companies are looking at the U.S. market and other big markets.
How about this right to try law that we've got going in place now? Once something gets passed, like phase one of testing, you have the option if you're terminally ill.
Patients have the option
like
of doing
that. So maybe we'll get a little in there.
Well, what's nice in Israel is that patients are already receiving cannabis. So a lot of it's sometimes they're receiving it for the palliative side. So if you're looking to conduct testing, if they're already receiving it, it's a lot easier.
What about, now, do you see, by the way, Eyal Barad is our guest. He's the CEO and co-founder of Cannabix Pharmaceuticals. They are publicly traded here in the U.S. under the stock symbol CNBX. You're going to be seeing more of him because I'm going to have you back. Are you seeing U.S. patients coming there for treatment?
No, we're looking actually to be able to take our service eventually once it's launched worldwide. So we don't think somebody will be able to necessarily travel. Our aim is actually to be able to personalize our treatment to patients in their locale. Mm-hmm. So being able to have access in one way or another to the variety that they have wherever they are located and be able to make the best recommendation to them and their doctor for the best care they can get.
Hey, listen, I really appreciate you coming on there with this interesting stuff all the way. I don't even know what the time for. I don't know what the time difference is there, but it's got to be late.
It's Friday.
Yeah, it is. Eyal Barad is the CEO and co-founder of a company called Cannabix Pharmaceuticals. They are publicly traded on the stock. So
I'd like
CNBA.
To.
We tried to talk to him last week. We were introduced to him.
It's a long way to try.
By one of our viewers. So
I'd like to get one of those patients on that's been receiving the
more confirmation bias. What about a patient that doesn't work for? Would you like to hear that?
Don't care about that.
What? See, that's the problem. This is why.
Go try something else then. It works for some people, doesn't work for any. You know, it's like religion. Oh. It works for some
people. The FDA does not work on the basis of religion.
I think it does.
Hey, you know, it works.
I don't want measles shots.
Works for some.
Lord. Oh, shut up.
Works for
the
others.
Kid can't leave the house.
Oh, so it's okay. So if you don't like it, it's shut up and go away.
Shut up and go home.
Okay,
you got a house?
Wow.
Okay. Oh, God. Have we started yet?
Yeah, we have.
No, that was interesting, though.
Very much.
I'm back.
Yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah.
Really interesting, though. Plus, all the way from Israel.
And I've got glaucoma.
No, you go treat it on the break, would you? Hey there, live from Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Show's on the air. It is so great to have you along today. Nationwide, coast-to-coast TV and radio.
Yes.
We are brought to you by Prudential. Let Prudential be yours.
Oh, rock!
For retirement.
Hey,
what is that stuff
that
hanging off
terrible.
The bottom of it? So brought to you by Rock Mobile. Don't be a rockhead like Rusty.
Hello, can't hear you.
Get
it's a rock.
Your jacket matches the Rock Mobile logo.
I'm into it, Bob.
Better advance, better science, better results.
Better believe it.
Starbucks coffee with a bigger, dare I say, bolder flavor.
I think you said bolder.
I said bolder.
You said bolder.
Yeah. What happened? Did we miss one? Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Roy's Restaurant. These are all owned by a company called Bloomin' Brands.
And they're based in Little Rock.
No, Boulder.
Oh, thank you. Pebble Beach. No. Hey, it's snowing back here.
All right. There you go. Look who's here today. I'm so excited.
Troy Naked Abbott. Entrepreneur in clothes. Thank God.
Sometimes you have to pay. Oh, did you say toupee?
Toupee. Oh, yeah, right.
Troy same Abbott. Gag 11 years down the road.
Come on. Hey, we switch audiences,
get
not
some
material.
Material, please.
Wait, can I ask you before we start?
For the people who missed it 11 years ago.
You were booked by a PR person literally 11 years ago.
I was.
On our show.
Yes.
Oh, so there's some guy from Australia who wrote the book, The Naked Entrepreneur, mm-hmm. is coming over. Mm-hmm. What did you do for a living then? Because you were like, were you an author? Would you have called yourself an author back then?
I'm not sure I had a job.
I don't think you did.
Yeah.
But I mean, what you were promoting something. Was
no,
it a book?
It was a book. Yeah, it was The Naked Entrepreneur. That was the reason we came here in the first place. And that was the reason I got in the show 11 years ago. Because
now, wow.
for some reason you thought it was a good book.
Were you...
Give me those.
Were you a keynote speaker at that point?
Yeah.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, in Australia. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Mm. But had you been to the U.S.? Or was this...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I used to come here 3 or 4 times a year.
Okay.
Just for different reasons. Some speaking, some business,
right.
some board things.
Right.
But... it just all kind of culminated in 2008.
Because, man, I would just, well, like, what I'm getting to is ever since he's been on our show,
yeah.
his career has...
Straight up. Why not? I think it's the accent. It has nothing to do with that. So I'm going to...
It's gone right through the roof.
Right through the roof.
Since he got
Look at
here.
Her.
What are you doing in town? First of all, if you're new to the program...
I came to see you.
Yeah that's garbage.
Okay, good.
I've known him for
yeah.
too long.
We believe it.
If you're watching us here, if you're sitting on your couch in Dallas or in Tampa, Florida... we're broadcast from San Diego. What are you doing? Are you speaking somewhere?
Yes, I was. Up the street.
Where?
I was up at Newport Beach for a couple of days. Yeah.
Up the street.
Up the street, yeah.
Well, it's only up the street.
Well, compared to where you...
Now, did you bring your family with you this time?
No.
See, sometimes Troy just brings the fam.
Yeah.
You have the best job in the world. Because he works about 30 weeks a year.
Uh-huh.
And the other 30 weeks, he's on the beach. But during the 30 weeks, it's right. like all the way up to the day he has to talk, he's still on the beach.
Yeah, there he is.
And
look
then he
him.
Goes, and then he
well,
goes. Oh, see, hey, he stole the word biz from me, by the way. I should get paid every time you go.
Biz with a Z, that's
yeah,
ours.
See, that's ours. That's
mm-hmm.
ours.
Is that my tie?
That's your tie.
You son
is.
Of a...
Yeah, and that's our chroma key green screen behind him.
Wow.
Yeah, see?
See, we set you up.
So, the funny part is... I've seen you on stage with a big stage, with a big screen.
Yeah, yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
you speak in front of the little stuff, too.
Well,
huh?
yesterday it was 300 people, so it was a nice coast.
You didn't
nice.
Even get out of bed for 300 people. Come on. So what was your topic yesterday?
Yesterday it was leadership.
Okay.
Yeah, how to be a better leader faster.
How,
faster.
You know, that's it.
Cut the crap is pretty much it.
Yeah, just be a nice person, really.
Well, what it brings up is leadership in you know, the millennial culture. Within 6 years, 75% of our employees
yeah.
and 75% of our customers are going to be millennial. Mm. That's a big change in the workplace.
Well,
that's
a big change
in leadership.
Yeah, yes, absolutely, because you got to talk their language. And lots of leaders that are boomers or Gen X or even traditionalists are not.
Right.
And that's the problem. It's not
have so you to better understand get ready. Them. You better get ready.
Well,
right?
absolutely. It's not because they're entitled or you have to understand them. You just have to talk their language.
Yeah.
And then they'll want to work for you.
Yeah.
Isn't there? But there's got to be both ends too.
Yeah.
Our millennial expert Dan Negroni, who also is starting out as a keynote speaker, also says the millennials and the Gen Xers have got to speak because there's going to be a transition period.
Absolutely,
it's not just one way.
Yeah,
the workplace just doesn't have to cater to. Although I would argue, when there's a million more jobs than there's people to fill, it's a job seeker's market at this point. But at some point, they have to get along with how traditional business is done, too. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they do. They have to understand that it's not going to happen by Friday, that it's not going to be as easy as they'd like to think it's going to be,
right.
And they're not going to make as much money in the first 10 years of their career that they'd like to make.
Right.
It doesn't happen that way. So there's a bit of a generational gap that's really just about communication. It's not about the fact that we've got a different business model they don't understand or that they want things to happen differently. It's just a communication gap. This is how it works around here. Here's what we expect from you.
Right.
Here's what you need to understand, that I'm not changing that much for you, but I will listen to what you need and help you on your journey.
And then on the corporate side of things, if you expect to keep them, you have to modify a few things. They could care less about the golden parachute pension plan. But
they want a scooter to get to the bathroom.
Exactly right. So here's a classic example for you. I had a technology company a while back, and we gave them pay rises. No one cared. But when we gave them the best computer with the whiz bang stuff and we gave it to them before their mates had it, then they were excited about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, first in line type thing for the new stuff.
They could bring their friends and go, I got this and you haven't. Isn't that kind of cool? You
know? There was a new study out by Polefish that came out last week that surveyed 1,000 representative sample of college students about their salary expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And they compared them right out of college and then midpoint in their career. And they compared them with real salary. And Troy's right. Every one of them expected to make $60,000 was their expectation.
Right.
And they all making 23% less than that.
I mean,
and by the way, just for the rest of you, it is a depressingly large gap, but business majors are truly deluded because business majors think they're going to come out making 80, 90 grand a year.
Well, they need to.
And they're still making 47,000 across the board here. That's the average salary. So I think that's a piece of it, though, too, because here in the U.S., we're looking for bodies to fill spaces, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean that's the double-edged sword of a great economy, right?
Yeah.
You got plenty of business, but and the open air indicators are, look no further than your local FedEx Kinko's or your UPS and look who's working across the desk. You're not getting the service you used to because, again, they just have a body sitting there trying to figure it out, right?
But they got to want to work. Here's a classic example. I was with a friend of mine in Los Angeles the other night just catching up, and her very young boys, they're 22, 24, I think it is, one of them said, so what's this thing about a 40-hour work week? was too much.
Shocking,
And the thing is that it seems to me that efficiency would say that you don't need to work 40 hours, but success would dictate you probably have to work 60 hours, right?
And
that's not going to change.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, when I first started in business in 1989, I would start at 3 a.m. And then get home at somewhere around midnight, get 3 or 4 hours sleep, get up and do it again. I'd do it 4 or 5 days a week all day long, and the rest of the time it'd be an 8-hour day.
Sure.
And then they'll make you a manager, and that means even more working hours with no more pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But you're a manager.
Right. Troy Hazard, a keynote speaker, author of the books, The Naked Entrepreneur and Future Proofing Your Business. He talks on all of that. And what do you do? Like 50 gigs a year?
50
keynotes a year across the country.
Yeah.
We're at the halfway point. We are literally at the halfway point. We're at week 26 starting coming Monday, which is exactly we're at the end of the halfway point this week. Talk about we're at the halfway point this year.
So this is where everyone kind of slows down and wonders if they're going to get to the end of the year. So all those goals they set in January, they're sitting around looking at it going, it's just too hard. I don't think I can do it.
Can you readjust?
They just stop. You know what? Why bother? It's going to be the same year as it was last year. I'm not going to put the effort in. And I think that's a real shift for everybody at about this time of the year where you have to look at it and go, it's not about the end goal. It's as much as about the milestones you're ticking off as you get to the end goal as it is the end of the year and going, I did what I said I was going to do in my New Year's resolution.
You're one of those plan maker guys, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I just wake up and happy I did so. And that's what? Now what?
Yeah, you did.
That's great.
But it's understandable, right?
But, thanks.
And we got plenty of time to talk about this, so I want to break this down a little bit, though, because you're talking about both in people's careers, but also in people planning their businesses, right? There's both. There's people's careers.
Same.
That aren't going the same, but there's also, vision for how people are creating their models.
Exactly. Right? So here's the half-year market. We're coming up to the budget for the second half. Have we got there? No, we're miles off it. Well, maybe we just should forget trying.
All right.
And so
versus pivoting, versus reassessing.
Reassessing and saying, well, what did we get wrong in the first half?
Right.
What are we going to change in the second half to make sure we're not going to do the same mistakes twice?
I kind of do that.
Really?
What?
No kidding.
Kind of.
Give me an example.
No, really.
Okay, wait. I would be curious. What goals do you set in January?
I don't.
I want to hear this. I really want to hear this.
Goals in January? I don't have any goals. Get it. Make it to February. That's my big goal. Jesus. No. You know, a lot of it's just tumbling down the hill and keeping my feet moving. Yes.
Just like that.
It seems to work, though. Yeah. But
Listen, you've made a career out of this.
I know I have.
Since 1979, 1980, you have made a career.
Yes.
Taking the next gig that comes along.
I do so many random things that, you know, I'm playing guitar tonight. I'm an auctioneer tonight. I'm a keynote speaker tonight. I'm a comedian tomorrow night. I'm a whatever. Yeah. So I can cut your hair. Both of you, I could make some money here. I have no big plan. That's why I'm so amazed.
But it's worked out for you, though.
I know it. That's the weird thing.
Could you imagine walking in at, well, I can't imagine any of the three of us walking in at 8 a.m. and leaving at 5
p.m.
Our cubicles next to each other. You guys want to golf this weekend?
We're getting nothing done.
We'd all be in trouble.
I can tell you one thing that we'll get done. Stay right there. Troy Hazard. TroyHazard.com, by the way, is his website. There it is. Future-proofing your business. There's another book coming. Hey, we have another chance for the back of a book. You know, we are the most quoted liner notes team in the history of any publishing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, Big Biz Show continues. Stand by. More Troy Hazard. We're halfway through the year. What are you going to do about it? We'll figure it out in just 1 second.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Big Biz Show. I just found out Russ is playing at a funeral this week, so if you'd like to see it, is it a cover charge or...
There will be. There will be a big basket that comes in front of you during the service. Just fill it and send it to me. Amen.
That's just wrong. Do they take offerings at funerals? I don't think they do.
I don't think. Unless it's religious service, too. Maybe.
Are you going? Are you really?
Yes.
At a funeral?
Yes.
This weekend?
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, so do you know the person?
Yes, I do, and
I knew
the kid.
Okay, all right.
Just a tragedy.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, well, they just hired me on a Facebook.
Hey, so you're a comedian. Can you come play Daniel at my son's funeral? Well, there's some people that would do that. So, you know what?
I would do it.
He would really love Rusty Nails at his funeral.
Yeah, he would. I'll be there.
Would you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Would you write comedy?
No.
If it were appropriate.
No.
Not in this case.
No.
But if it was one of those things where... Hey, we want the guy was a big Rusty Nails fan.
Yes.
Oh, you've been. You write comedy for the year? Do you roast him a little bit?
Yeah. This one guy. The doctor said he only had 6 months to live. Unfortunately, one of them was February.
Wow.
It
did
worked.
Did you
then,
say that?
Huh? I did say that. That was part of the roast. They wanted that. His friends, they're all jokers and stuff. They wanted this kind of a roast. I don't know.
Celebration of life.
I think it is more than that.
All right.
And I'm not going to bust out comedy. I'm just going to sing.
What kind of songs would you sing?
Daniel.
Roll me up and smoke me?
No, just two songs.
Okay. And one of those songs. I'm just checking.
Roll me up and smoke me when I die.
So
yeah.
It'll be
Daniel and then
Daniel from.
Daniel, my brother.
From Elton John.
Because him and his mom just saw the movie and she wants that one. And then one from Bradley Cooper's song. Maybe it's time for the old ways to die.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a real
How are you going to get through that? You don't wear sunglasses?
I might.
You probably see wear sunglasses.
I should.
And then you look over the crowd.
That's what you do.
Yeah, have to.
Back of the head. Okay. Right. I always stare at your forehead.
Get a little lit before.
Always?
Just like,
Bob,
you know.
Come on. Who are you talking to here, baby? By the way.
Just giving you some show notes.
Funerals, bar mitzvah, quinceañeras. I'm your mi amigo.
What?
Back to you, Bob.
Nothing could be learned from that last segment. I was just curious about it. Troy Hazard joining us.
We have to have valleys on this show so we can have hills. You understand? You can't get all peaks.
Oh, we need the valley.
The valley.
Here
comes the valley.
Big valley. Me and Barbara Stanwyck down here hanging out.
Big turn. Here comes Troy. Troy, I have a question. So when you talk about leadership in front of these groups, and not you don't have to mention the group, but what type of industry was it yesterday that you were talking about?
It was government, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so I got to hear about this.
What?
Are they ahead of the curve or behind the curve in this whole
thing? No, look, it was actually quite interesting because I did a fair bit of research before I went in, just because it's not my typical audience.
Sure.
No. And they were really attentive and took a bunch of notes and very open to change. And I was actually quite excited about that.
Tell when they're engaged?
Yeah. Nodding and notes. That's what you look for as a speaker. And if you've got that happening, then life is good. You're doing your job.
Good. Yeah, because last time I did a keynote, they were doing that, but I thought they were reporting me.
I did a closing.
It's the guy.
I was the closing keynote. The people would just right in the middle, just get their bag and go, my flight's leaving, and they would just take off. Like, but I'm not done. I got
to
go.
What do you think the leadership challenges, the biggest leadership challenges right now with respect to businesses or corporations? Is it that millennial?
What do you think it is? I think it's easier than that. I think we've just got lazy. Electronic devices, technology, the internet, text, email, the like, it's just made it too easy for leaders to go, oh yeah, good job, and hope that's enough. Mm-hmm. They're not energetically engaging. They're not inspiring people to be better tomorrow than they are today. They're just sending a text or an email saying, thanks for that. That was good. Keep
it up. It's a function of they're not motivating their people.
Well, they're not evolving as leaders to evolve their people. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the problem. If you just keep doing what you've always done as a leader, you're going to be the same guy.
So I predict this, is that, you know, the big buzzword for a long time was innovation economy. We're an innovation economy. Still we're an innovator, is. You know, innovation, creativity. Yeah. Yeah. The problem is that is now a double-edged sword. Because it's, oh, by the way, for everyone. Of course, you better be innovative. You're not going to be in business. Well, it's almost like, well, let the old ways die, right? I mean, it's you almost have to get back to the old days of metal desks and typewriters and actually visiting with your people and taking them out and such. Yep. I mean, right, because we've lost that completely. The pendulum swung completely in the other direction.
Yep, shake hands, kiss babies, do all those sort of things. What's happened is that these words, innovation, disruption, and
business engine.
Yeah, all that, they've lost
influencer.
Their equity. We've used them so much, people have forgotten what they're supposed to mean. Yeah. All they mean is be a bit creative.
Right.
Think about things differently.
Yeah.
Try new stuff. Try and engage on a different level.
The personal touch, though, is missing from a couple different. You know, and I do auctions, again, silent auction. It's all, now it's smartphone bidding. No one's standing there at the item going, hey, George, look at this lamp. You want to buy it? They're just like, no, I'm going to buy it.
So you miss the emotion.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, I hate that.
What about the live auction part?
Another thing, they do the fund to need, which is pushing the amount you want. And I'm standing there going, okay.
But you're still getting paid, though. Think about that.
Yeah, but
part.
I'm not, yeah.
That's
right.
The part.
But still. So
the biggest challenge is the human connection, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Absolutely. I totally believe that. I believe we've got to get off our chairs. And we're going to go across the hall, go into their office, shake hands, take them out for a coffee, do things that mean something to them on an intellectual and emotional level, so that we really engage on an empathetic level.
Now, how would your message differ if you were in front of Uber, who effectively the biggest taxi cab company in the world that doesn't own a single car, doesn't have a single driver on the payroll, right? Honestly, they're a world full of subcontractor employees where they really, by default, because of this gig economy, can't have and by design do not want to have.
But that's where you can be creative. So I did an event only last week to 1,200 people on Skype.
Okay.
So it's still an emotional connection because I'm talking directly down the camera. I'm talking to them. And I'm asking them to look introspectively at their lives, about what they want to be when they grow up, where they're going, how they're going to get there. So I've got that emotional connection, but I'm not sending them a text or an email. Yeah. I'm actually talking to them as a human, as if I'm in the same room.
So even as opposed to just text and X's or ones and zeros coming across the screen, even sending a digital message, that consumable digital content might be the answer to personalizing your
Absolutely.
Message.
Absolutely. I mean, I do it all the time on just a 2-minute video to our guys in Australia.
Yeah. Even if there's cool emojis. Yeah. Birthday cake scream, exclamation point. Happy. Confetti birthday.
Yeah, you just channeled thing. Robin Williams. Just
yes,
one
I
second.
Did. I just put all thing on you. All right. I'm good.
Troy,
well,
thank
we're
you
out
so
of
much.
Show. Darn it.
Welcome back to the Left Coast. Appreciate it. Troy Hazard, you see him a lot here on the program.
What a good-looking head. I'd be bald if I had a head that good-looking.
He does. He's not misshapen. Like your head.
No.
TroyHazard.com. Pick up one of his books today. You'll see him again next couple of weeks. All right, Christiana is our director, Jared Coleman, our assistant director, Curtis Matovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our keeper of keys, our composer, and from whom all blessings flow.
Yeah.
RussIsFunny.com because...
Well, RussIsFatAndBald.com is taken.
That's exactly right.
Every time he left. 11 years he's left.
Do you have RussIsFatAndBald.com?
Yeah.
Could we get RussIsFatAndBald.com?
I think it's up there somewhere.
I'm Sully. Catch me everywhere at Sully Seeks. We'll see you tomorrow.